I want to speak to you on the subject, the angel's newscast. As we look at this passage and we find the shepherds sitting in that darkness on the hillside watching over their sheep that night, they were probably contemplating similar thoughts as we are tonight because of the difficulties that they were going through. They were disheartened by the fact that they were under the iron thumb of the Roman Empire. They were subjected to the pressures of a census and taxation by the dictator Caesar Augustus. And just like the average Joe, if the shepherds had received bad news that night, they probably would not have been surprised. But praise the Lord, the news that they received was not just good news, it was great news of joy. I asked myself the question as I looked at this passage, why is it that God chose mere shepherds to deliver this message, to deliver this newscast? Why didn't he choose wealthy people or intellectuals or philosophers or physicists? Why choose shepherds? I wondered to myself, what would it have been like if this news had been delivered to a physicist? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not criticizing intelligence or genius or education. But one of the world's renowned physicists of our time was a man by the name of Stephen Hawking. He was born in Oxford, England, and had an IQ of 168. He's the author of the book, The Grand Design. And the theme or the subject of the book is quantum gravity and theoretical cosmology. I can barely say those words, much less understand what that is about. So I Googled it. Not that everything that Google says is correct, but it sounded good enough to me, so I wrote it down. It's the branch of philosophy dealing with the origin of the universe. And in the interview, here are just some snippets of what Stephen Hawking said. God can be defined as the embodiment of the laws of nature. Some think of God as a human-like being with whom one can have a personal relationship. But when one considers the vast size of the universe and how insignificant and accidental human life is in it, that thought seems highly implausible. Here's another part. Though the universe doesn't have an end, it had a beginning in the Big Bang. One might ask, what is before that? But the answer is that there is nowhere before the Big Bang, just as how there is nowhere south of the South Pole. One more. I think the brain is essentially a computer, and consciousness is like a computer program. It will cease to run when the computer is turned off. Theoretically, it could be recreated on a neural network, but that would be very difficult because it would require all of one's memories. 168 IQ. My question is, I wonder what he's thinking right now. You see, he died in 2018. And I don't mean to be unkind, but the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And if you look at the context, if you look at the scriptures, you'll find that the words there and is are italicized, which means that in the translation, they were added to sort of give a clarity to what was said. So in essence, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. So again, I don't want to sound as if I'm knocking intellectualism. But any person who does not believe that the God of the Bible is real and that he exists the way the Bible declares and describes is a fool. And so God picked out these hard-working shepherds, and permit me to just have a mind that can sort of create or visualize what's going on. And he says to the angels, I want you to go down there and give those men truth. I want to make sure that they hear it, because I can trust them to believe it and then share it. No doubt, as the angels prepared themselves to go down to proclaim the wonderful news of the Savior's birth, they had joy in their hearts because they delivered it with joy. And when we look at the conditions in which they delivered, the conditions that existed as they delivered it, the first thing I notice is that they said to the shepherds, "Fear not." Again, permit me, but I don't think "fear not" was in the original script. The Lord said, go down and tell them about the birth of my son. But when the angels got down there and they saw the reaction of the shepherds, they added to the script, "fear not." You see, folks, these shepherds were accustomed to wolves and foxes and eclipses and shooting stars. But this was an unexpected experience. And the Bible says that they were terrified. And I'm here tonight to let you know that fear is unmistakable. Fear is very recognizable. It just comes across the face, the blood drains. Sometimes people respond to fear by just falling to their knees because they become so weak. A lot of young men say, you know, I'd love to be a police officer because of all the fun. You get to drive a fast car and you get to turn on the lights and siren and go through red lights. And even if there is nothing happening, you're going to take a cat out of a tree. You can still drive with... That's not true. You can't. You have to follow protocol. But it's not all fun. One of the most difficult parts in the duty of a police officer is death notifications. So you go to somebody's door at 3:00 in the morning and you knock and you have on your uniform, and it's never good news when you have an officer at your door at 3:00. And so I can tell you tonight that fear is unmistakable and easily recognizable. I've seen it. Praise the Lord, we as Christians don't have to be paralyzed by fear. Fear can derail us. Fear can test the limits of our faith. But God's grace is always sufficient. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. There are certain verses that you ought to put up on your desk or on your fridge or on your dashboard. We need certain verses just to remind us that the Lord is with us, because life is so... there are so many unexpected things that can happen in life. The word I'm thinking of is unpredictable, and it can change on a dime. But never be afraid of sudden fear, because the Lord is your confidence. Why? Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. These are verses that we can stand on throughout our lifetime. I said to the folks this morning, the longer we live is the more we're going to experience unpredictable life. And so God is our only source of strength and comfort and confidence when these things happen. Even death. I believe that the Lord gives us dying grace. And so we should not fear death. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And Mike, you're a teacher. That's present tense, continuous action. Amen? the Lord is with me. In other words, he's always there. So throughout the whole process, the Lord is right there with us. So we don't have to fear. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen. The classification of this newscast was one of joy because a Savior was going to be born. It was not to help the shepherds with their health benefits, with their educational benefits, with their welfare benefits, with their social security benefits. According to the angel, they were bringing to them and to the world good tidings or news of great joy. Why? Because God was about to reveal himself to man. God was about to reveal God to man. No longer did human beings have to guess about God, because here he was now going to be in human flesh. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You have Bibles that say, and the Word was a God. That's not a good Bible. The Bible says, and the Word was God. It is important that we have that truth, because when we get to verse 14, it makes sense that the same Word, the same God, became human. He became flesh and lived among us. He revealed himself to man. It was also news that revealed man to himself. You see, folks, we will never be perfect on this earth. And there are some people, because of a lack of teaching, struggle with their Christianity because they feel that they can lose it. They feel that once they get saved, if they don't live a perfect life, then they're going to lose their salvation. But my Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. He has given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment to secure us. We can never lose our salvation. And he has given us the caveat of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, we can never lose our salvation. And here is the wonderful thing that was revealed that night. Jesus Christ was coming into the world, born as a babe, to grow and then die as a man on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. And the Bible says that God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when God looks at us today, if we have trusted Jesus as Savior, he sees us through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and we are as pure as a driven snow. That's why the angel says it's good news, good tidings of great joy, because unto us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That must have been joyous. That must have quelled their fears and calmed their nerves. I'm glad I live in this dispensation. I'm glad I live in this time frame. Because you see, many of the Old Testament saints looked for the promise and never saw it. Many of them endured great persecution because of the promise, according to Hebrews chapter 11, and they never received it. They had to look forward to the Messiah. We look back. Same salvation by faith. But today we have the completed Word of God that tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise the Lord. So many men looked forward, and women looked forward. Some of them never stopped studying and looking, and We read in Matthew chapter 2 the story of the wise men as it's recorded, and they studied and discovered that they were to look for a star. And in Matthew chapter 2 verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. So the shepherds rejoiced and the wise men rejoiced. And in 2020, in spite of all the difficulties, we raise our hands and rejoice and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Herein is no love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation, the substitute for our sins. That's love, and we can rejoice. I believe the shepherd's response of rejoicing was spontaneous. I believe the wise men's rejoicing was spontaneous. What is spontaneous rejoicing? Got a little glimpse of it 10 years ago. A group by the name of the Knights Foundation set out to perform 1,000 random acts of culture in the United States over a 3-year period. And in October of 2010, they transported the Wanamaker organ, which is the largest pipe organ in the United States, in the world. And they placed it on the ground floor of Macy's department store in Philadelphia. And then they organized the 600 voice opera company of Philadelphia. All of them dressed like they were shopping at Macy's. And this huge mall, this huge ground floor, had hundreds of people there. And nobody recognized that these people that were standing right amongst them were part of this choir. And at noon, the organ piped up and started to play Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. And then, right in the midst of that, they heard the singing. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever and ever. Hallelujah. They didn't do that. That's just a Jamaican in me coming out. And the people were in awe. And the more it went on, you saw spontaneous responses, rejoicing. Some wept, some lifted their children, some took pictures and videos. And at the end of it, there was a sustained applause that just went on and on and on because of the words and the music. You know, music has a message even without words. That's spontaneous response, spontaneous rejoicing. Priceless rejoicing by these people. How much more on that night did those shepherds rejoice as the proclamation broke forth in the eastern sky? Hallelujah! Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What I love about this newscast is that it was not just to the shepherds, but verse 10 tells us that it was to all people. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. People of every ethnicity. Thank the Lord that the Bible tells us that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. All men. I will look forward to heaven when we don't have our old nature anymore. There will be no more prejudice. There will be no more racism. There will be no more hatred. There will be no more wars. Every one of us will live in peace. I get so many phone calls, you know, about people not liking one another because of ethnicity and color. And I tell them, it's not, the problem is not skin, the problem is sin. And so when we get to heaven, we will no longer have a sin nature. And we'll all live together in harmony. I look forward to that. It shall be to all people. Can you imagine if it was only to French people, or very tall people, or good-looking people, or Jewish people? Man, some of us, we ain't got no hope. But Pastor, you're good-looking. You would make it. You'd make it. I want you to invite me back. So. No exclusivism. It doesn't matter who you are. The Lord wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The contents of the news we've mentioned so many times already tonight. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this Savior was coming to save their souls, which is the most precious part of any human being. He didn't come to save them from bodily harm or physical suffering or political oppression or discrimination. He came to save their souls. And you know, when Jesus was on earth, we got a glimpse of how human beings reacted. Many of them followed him because he fed them that day with the fish and the barley. But that's not why Jesus came. He came to save our souls. All those other things are temporal. And that's why the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Unto us a Savior is born, a Redeemer, a Deliverer, a Substitute, or Propitiation. One who ensured man everlasting life instead of everlasting death. One who ensured man a place in heaven instead of a place in hell. God had promised and saints had prophesied and men had preached. But that night, he was finally presented. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all you kids that are sitting here tonight, young people, you got gifts on Friday. And none of those gifts required that you paid mom and dad. Amen? Then it wouldn't be a gift. You ripped open those presents. Wow! PlayStation 5! And you said thanks and you gave a hug. That's what a gift is. It's free. And Jesus Christ is our gift. Free. Salvation is free. Not cheap because it cost him his life. But it's free. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So you see, that's our devotional tonight. We rejoice with one another because we know and we identify with what the angels shared with the shepherds. And we identify with what we have experienced in our lives since we've been saved. But as with everything else, there has always been an attempt by the evil one to distract and to subvert and to replace and to have a counterfeit for truth and for what God has provided for us. And there's no difference right now. There's a little plump man that comes around every Christmas. This is where it gets a little tricky now. But love me anyway. And I look at that little plump man and I say to myself, I wonder if he is coincidental or intentional. That's what I wonder. You say, well, why? Well, he always has white hair and white beard. And listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. Revelation 1 verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And the little plump man always wears a red suit. Listen to the word of God that says about Jesus. Revelation 19, 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the little plump man brings gifts for boys and girls. Revelation 22 verse 12, talking about Jesus. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And the little plump man claims that he comes from the North Pole. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14 that the Lord lives in the sides of the north. And then I think of the little song. He knows if you've been sleeping, he knows if you're awake, he knows if you've been moon or back, so be good for goodness sake. So I ask myself the question. So he knows every little boy and every little girl in every nation on this planet and how they've behaved through the entire year. That requires omniscience. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And then the song goes on. So, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not cry. Telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. And so that's teaching the children, listen, behave. You have to behave, because if Santa Claus comes and find you not behaving, you're not getting anything. You got to make sure when he comes, you can meet him with confidence. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And then they send out Christmas cards. CHRISTMAS cards. But instead of having Christmas cards, they X out my Savior and they put Xmas. And if you take the name Santa and you move the N from the middle and put it to the end, you get Satan. No, I know that this can be a little controversial. That's why I put it diplomatically. Is it coincidental or intentional? And I'll just say this, food for thought. Should I be a politician, Pastor? We have to make sure that we proclaim that Jesus is the reason for the season. And make sure that he gets the glory. And he gets the praise. And we have to make sure that truth stands firm. There was a gentleman who was married. His wife was a Christian who loved the Lord. And he wasn't saved. And she tried so many times to get him to go to church with her. One particular Christmas Eve, she said, honey, would you go with me to church tonight? He says, no, I just don't feel up to it. So she left, and it was cold outside. You know, there was snow on the ground, and he was sitting and warming himself by the fireplace. And he heard a pecking on the window. And he looked and he saw a little bird. And so he went outside and he realized that the bird saw the flame and was kind of drawn to the warmth, the heat. And there were several other birds. So he went into the barn and he prepared a little fire so that the birds could come in and warm themselves in the barn. And then he went and he was trying to shoo them in there, and the birds flew away. And he said to himself, you know, if I could become like a bird, then they could understand me and I could get them to come into the barn. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we got the message, and it has transformed our lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your plan of salvation that's so perfect, designed by thee, executed by thee, all for sinful human beings. Can never get over that. All for sinful human beings. And today, if we trust Jesus Christ, we become new creatures. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus is not just a ticket for us to go to heaven, but he's our life, our hope. He's our all in all. And tonight, as we begin to prepare to close out the year, we lift you up with praise and thanksgiving and let you know from the depths of our soul that we love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.